Good morning. It's good to be here today. I'm sure the Lord is happy with where we are and what we are doing. Looking at His Word, studying and singing praises to His name, and coming to Him in prayer. This morning I'd like for us to study perspectives. We have a perspective, each one of us, on everything that we see and everything that we hear. I think Kyle spoke to us last Sunday night and said that perspective needed to be fair-minded. And I think that was a fantastic introduction to my sermon this morning. As we study today, I have a home passage. And we're going to start here. We're going to take a trip, look at several things, and then we're going to come back home again and look at it again and see what God really has for us. Usually, when we see the first couple of verses in a book, we look at it as a greeting. But Paul, via God, gives us an insight into something that I think is rather interesting. Paul, a bondservant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth, which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began, but has in due time manifested His word through preaching, which was committed to me according to the commandment of God, our Savior. The question that I have this morning, does our perspective see the whole picture? Do we look at everything exactly like it should be and understand it all? I think a simple example of this is the podium, which we see every service when we step in here. And yet, we may not see all of it. And every one of us in here has a perspective of it. I have a different perspective of this podium than everybody else in here. And I don't have the perspective of this podium that you do. I think it's interesting that if we all got up and walked all the way around this podium, we would have a totally different perspective. Did you see it like that when you were walking? This is the kind of stuff that I always think is interesting, that I can look at something a lot of different ways, seem to turn it upside down, and never see one of the perspectives that I was supposed to see. I think that is one of the things that we look at and we find out some of the perspectives that God wants us to see are hidden. And I think there's good reason for it, because we lack knowledge or we have a bias. And that hinders us from seeing what we should see. This concept is in God's Word. In Luke, He says, "To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." That's personal bias. They can't see it because they've clouded their mind. Is my mind, or is your mind, clouded to not be able to see what God wants us to see? This morning I want us to look at three normal topics that we all have a perspective on. And the interesting part about these three topics are, we make them real simple. Because we're real simple people. We do it a lot of times in everything that we do. The most interesting part about these three topics, as we look at the perspectives today, These three topics are so intertwined and close together, it's difficult to separate them, although we're going to step through them one by one. You're going to see today how they have some effect on us. This is the usual perspective of the Bible. Oh yeah, I have a Bible. I have it in my library. Anytime I want to go look at it or find out a topic, I'll go look it up. Oh yes, I have a Bible. It sits on my coffee table. And I show that to my most intimate people, friends, family, and everything, that I have a Bible, but I don't let the world see that it really is my guide for life. Oh yes, I have a Bible, and I read it, and I study it. But do I only study it as an educational exercise? This is my favorite book from childhood. Why? Because I love the story. I would read this story and imagine that I was Mike. And I was getting to enjoy something that I think would be a blast. When I read the story, it was an interesting story. When an adult would read this story to me, it came alive. Was there anything special about my parents or anything special about a librarian or my teacher reading it to me? No. It was my perspective of the story. It was what was in my mind when I read the story that made it come alive. When I look at the Bible, how do I see the Bible? As just an open book that I read? I think Eli, talking to Samuel, when God came and spoke to him, and Eli tells him how to answer the voice, and says, "Speak, Lord, your servant hears." I couldn't find a picture of what I wanted. If I have the mental perspective of holding up my Bible and humbling my heart and saying, "Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth," is that not a different perspective of God's Word that we should have? I think this concept makes us look at this book totally different. And I read this book and I study this book totally different. This concept is in 2 Timothy, the second chapter in verse 15. "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the Word of God." I love the way the New American Standard Version says, "accurately handling the Word of God." We come to the Word of God with a perspective that is totally different when we see it as God speaking to me. I think this makes us look at the Word of God in a totally different way. I think that we start saying what Jeremy said on Wednesday night, "How do I look at the Bible?" And I think Jeremy's question Wednesday night was exactly right. We look at it like it should be looked at. The second perspective is that of God. This is one perspective we have of God. He is all-powerful, the supreme being. It's not wrong. It's true. We see Him as an all-knowing or having total knowledge of everything. We see Him as omnipresent. He's everywhere, which He is, in all places. Have you thought about He's timeless? He's not bound by what we are bound by. One day is 1,000 years to God. It's unbelievable. One day is not like 1,000 years to us. It's shocking. In Genesis, the first chapter, God created the heavens and the earth when? When He created time. We don't think about that because we live in time every day. Our life revolves around time. We all have watches. We have on our phones a clock. We live by it. Hebrews, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth. Is He telling us something? He doesn't think like time. He's not bound by it. I think that's shocking to me. I don't know how to think without it. Tomorrow we will do what? Every time I talk about something, it's in reference to time. This has a different view of His Word and Him. When we view time as not in the Bible, because the Bible is from God's perspective and is a book given by a timeless being. It has a totally different concept when you think of it that way. Which brings us to the plan of salvation. The usual perspectives. Nothing wrong with these. That's not what I'm saying. These are the usual perspectives. Why? Because we think in time. It's amazing what we have to do. We think in a sequence or steps to do things. God doesn't think this way. He's not bound by time. If we looked at the plan of salvation, totally different, that's not time-based, how do we see it? We see it like God sees it. Let's look back at the home passage again. Who created the plan of salvation that gives us eternal life? God did. What can God not do? He cannot lie. Therefore, He promised it when? Before time began. And what did He do? He manifested it through preaching His Word, which is now in book form. This passage came alive to me when my perspective changed to understand this is not just a greeting at the first part of Titus. This is information from God about what He's done. And He also gives us one more thing. According to the commandment of God, our Savior. That has ramifications. Unbelievably. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Why? Because God the Father planned it, God the Son executed it, and God the Holy Spirit gave it to us. Right here. It's amazing when your perspective changes, the Bible looks totally different. So, what does or what is the things that God brought or planned outside of time? He planned His revelations, uttering things kept secret from the foundation of the world. What did He plan before the foundation of the world? The kingdom. He prepared it for those that would be righteous and want to follow Him. He planned His love for us before the foundation of the world. This is not made up as He went. He chose the type of people in Christ before the foundation of the world. He chose the works and did the works, completed it before the foundation of the world. And what did He do before He started this whole thing in the beginning? He foreordained who the King was. Jesus Christ. And decided He was going to be the one to execute the plan of salvation. This is the way I now see the plan of salvation. This has multiple perspectives. It looks simple in its concept, but God has a multifaceted plan of salvation that He planned. When we look at God's plan of salvation from the perspective of the Bible, we see in the beginning, which is time begins, where He starts His book. In the Old Testament, we see the coming of the Christ when He talked to Abraham in Genesis, the 12th chapter, "In thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." Then we get to the life of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and He gives us four perspectives of the life of Jesus. Why? Because there's four purposes for each one of the books. Then He gives us the New Testament. After the Mosaic Law in Hebrews, the 7th chapter and verse 22, Jesus made a certainty of a better testament. That's what we live in today. And then the Bible tells us there's going to be something after time. There's going to be judgment. In Hebrews, the 9th chapter and verse 27, "It is appointed unto men once to die. Outside of time we go, there will be a judgment." The Bible is the documentation of the execution of the plan of salvation. We see it when we read it from cover to cover. The plan of salvation, the perspective of the Son of God. God talks about Jesus in the first chapter, in the first verse of John, when He says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Outside of time, and He brought Him in. Then He talks about the sinless life of Jesus in 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter, verse 22, and He says, "Who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth." Jesus Christ lived sinless. Why does that matter? Because of the death of Jesus talked about in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, and verse 10, "By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." That's unbelievable. From the perspective of God, seeing what He sees the Son of Man, Son of God is. Then we see a resurrection of Jesus. Why did He need to be resurrected? Romans 6 and verse 9, "Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over Him." He has all power. He can do anything. He can resurrect Himself. Jesus Christ is the Savior. the Son of God. He is God. And then it talks about, in John, the 16th chapter, verse 28, where is he now? I came forth from the Father and am come into the world again. I leave the world and go to the Father. We know where our Savior is now. He's alive. He is reigning. He is the King. And then God tells us what all of this means in Jesus Christ. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. God's perspective of the plan of salvation from the perspective of the Son of God is what we get. Mankind's perspective. This is where it gets very difficult for us because we're in time and we're bound by time, and God gave us a timeless plan. We see all kinds of passages. The first two, God wants us to observe something. The third one, we see that the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep His commandments. Then we see an answer Jesus gave in Matthew, the 22nd chapter. This is the first and greatest commandment. Love the Lord, thy God. In Luke, He wants us to hear. In Acts, the 2nd chapter, repent and be baptized. Romans, the 6th chapter, He wants us to be buried with Jesus in baptism. In Romans 10, confess and believe. In Luke 11, He wants us to ask, seek, and knock. In 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, be found faithful or full of faith. In Romans, He tells us to receive grace through Jesus Christ. And in the third John, the 1st chapter, He wants us to walk in truth. I worked with a man years ago. When I see this kind of thing and it looks complicated, he used a word he made up. This is a ponderment, isn't it? What do I do first? This is overwhelming. I have no idea where to go from here. This is not that odd of a perspective. Is this not what the people on the day of Pentecost ask? Men and brethren, what shall we do? This is normal for us to have this perspective. I don't know where to start. I don't know what to do. This overwhelms me. You quit? No. We don't have the option of stopping not to get salvation. So, let's go back. This is our perspective. Why is this our perspective? Because this perspective is God's perspective. He sees us in time. He understands that we're bound by physical things, and time is one of those physical things. Then how do I make it to where I want to be? And where I want to be is with God after this life is over with. He wants us to observe some things. He wants us to ask questions. He wants us to listen. He wants us to have a fear or respect. He wants us to seek Him. He wants us to change our heart and our thinking. He wants us to love, not just each other, but to love Him. He wants us to confess or profess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He wants us to knock. What door do we knock on? Jesus Christ is the door. That's the door you knock on. He wants us to walk in truth. We should be truth seekers. And He wants us to be faithful. Well, wait a second. How can I be faithful and do all of these things? I'm not a Christian. Because you're looking to obey. And you start saying, wait a second, I can't obey, can I? Yes, you can. Is your mind the same mind to be changed when you first got introduced to the Word of God that it is now? Or when you come to a point of greater understanding or getting the perspective of God? Sure it is. We make changes all the time. They're called corrections. Do we repent? Do we love? Yeah, we love deeper as time goes on, but we begin to love. Even before becoming a Christian, we have to have a love of God, of His Word, and see the things, and a love to be with Him someday. Even before we become a Christian. Why? How can I say that? Because every day we're growing. God sees it as growth. Are we on a growth path to make it to Jesus Christ? That's what we're doing. If we're not a Christian, that's what we should be doing. That's the way we train our children, on a growth path to do all of these things. In what order? Yes. Why? Because they're all interconnected with each other. Because someday we're going to die. There's going to be a death. And we choose the first death ourselves. Because the first death is the old man. The old person that we were before Jesus Christ came into our life. We're buried with Him in baptism through obedience the same way. All of this is obedience. This is what we do after becoming a Christian. Look familiar? Yeah, it looks real familiar. Because it's more obedience. Because we're still growing. We're not stopping just because we've been saved in baptism and been buried. We continue to grow. We don't stop asking questions. We don't stop repenting and turning back to God when we make mistakes. We don't stop our confession. We continue to profess Jesus as the Christ every Sunday when we take the Lord's Supper. We walk in truth. We live faithfully. That means continually to fill up ourselves to be full of faith. That never happens. Never get to that full mark. Why? Because there's more for us to learn. What are we looking for? God can't lie, and He's made a promise, and we're looking for His promise. What is that promise? Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, which He does throughout the Bible, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. This is where God dwells. Outside of time, outside of the physical world, this is where I want to be. This is where you want to be. Why? I can't make it. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. But I strive to do what's right. I obey I'm growing. Look at it from God's perspective again. I know the beings I created are not perfect. They can't do the will that I wish them to do perfectly. Therefore, I'm going to pour out my grace on them. Grace is abundant in Jesus Christ. This is where we want to be. In Jesus Christ, this is where grace is poured out abundantly. We're not perfect. There's only been one perfect sacrifice. One perfect person in the world. This is what we're looking for. So, has your perspective changed on these three things? God is more than a superhuman. He's the designer, the creator, and in control of everything. That's in the physical realm. That's in the spiritual realm. The Bible, His Word, is more than just a book. Is God speaking? Are we listening to God speaking? Because He's speaking to each one of us. In fact, He's speaking to the whole world. The decision that we all make is whether we want to listen. The plan of salvation is more than just steps that I'm going to get the check marks on the list. It is God's revelation to mankind about His dwelling in eternity, His righteousness, His love for us, His law, His grace, and His reconciliation of us to Him. The plan of salvation is more than just something I do once. It's what I do. I grow every day. So, what is our reaction? Do we have the book? The mental perspective? Like this? With my head bowed low, humbly asking, speak, Lord, your servants are listening for salvation. This is the perspective that we need to take. This perspective is what God wanted for us. We can have that perspective if but humbling our hearts. Your perspective. We want your perspective, my perspective, to be God's perspective. Why? Because it matters. That's why. As we sing this invitation song, if there is any reason that you need God in your life, need the help of the saints here, come as we stand and sing.